Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Friday, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And, Jim, we start with actual good news from the pages of nationalreview.com. Your colleague Chris Jacobs writing this story yesterday. Thursday afternoon, Judge Rosemary Collyer dropped another mess into the Obama administration's continuing Obamacare quagmire. Her ruling in House of Representatives v. Burwell jeopardizes a major source of funding for health insurance marketplaces, which were already barely sustainable at best. Perhaps more important, however, it represents a major defeat for the administration's constant pattern of executive unilateralism by preserving the House's most important constitutional prerogative, the power of the purse. The case centers around Obamacare's cost-sharing subsidies, which provide additional assistance to help low-income individuals pay for things like co-payments and deductibles, while the Obamacare law explicitly appropriated funds to subsidize premiums on insurance exchanges. It did not provide such an appropriation for these cost-sharing subsidies. The Obama administration acknowledged this in 2013, requesting such an appropriation from the House of Representatives. But months later, the administration did an about-face and proceeded to start paying the cost-sharing subsidies to insurers. The House viewed this action as a unilateral usurpation of its most important constitutional prerogative, and Judge Collyer unequivocally agreed. So, Jim, obviously this will get appealed, I'm sure. We'll see if it ends up like the case that was ruled on last year with whether states or the federal government can do the subsidies and so forth. But at least there's some judges out there who can read.
Yeah, and you know what I find myself saying this morning, Greg, that could be a sign that I'm now completely off my rocker. Or the constant, you know, 3 weeks of rain have kind of made my brain soggy. Should we give an attaboy to John Boehner?
Yeah, for this,
The attitude was, oh, Republicans aren't doing anything. They're completely capitulating to Obama. They don't have the courage to stand and fight. Well, here they did. It was not the fastest process we wanted. It was not the most effective process we wanted. But lo and behold, you challenge the administration saying, you don't have the authority to do this. And, you know, sometimes, by golly, you can find judges who agree with that. There's a very similar story with the, you know, a lot of people start complaining about Obama's executive order amnesty as if it's in effect. No, it is. They put a stay on it. It is not in effect. They're not getting amnesty. They're not allowed to halt those deportations. So, you know, is this do we like having to wait 2 years to get this sort of a reaction? No. Is the Obama administration kind of setting precedent? And I think setting a kind of getting the American political culture acclimated to the idea of an imperial presidency. Yeah, and it's still worth worrying about. But that doesn't mean we give each other high fives when we actually win them and make the point, no, the administration does not have the power to do these things. You can't just completely reinterpret the law after it's passed. If you want to change it, you got to pass legislation. You can't just bail out insurance companies because you feel like it, because you hadn't really expected for there to be this many sick people signing up and healthy people not signing up. So lo and behold, critics of Obamacare are vindicated, saying we told you so is not – we'd rather not be in that circumstance. But ideally, the country would learn from this and learn to listen to skeptics before they go off on some other, you know, wild, crazy, idealistic policy crusade pushed by the Democrats.
I'm sure the media will get right on that.
Yeah.
They'll listen to facts and rational arguments, just like they're doing in our bad martini story today. This broke actually yesterday. The White House tipped off the New York Times and Washington Post, but this is the Fox News version of the story. The Obama administration has sent a letter to every public school district in the country telling them to allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their chosen gender identity as opposed to their birth certificate. The letter, which is signed by officials at the Justice Department and the Department of Education, was sent out Friday. A copy is at the Justice Department's website. While the letter does not have the force of law, it does warn that schools that do not abide by the administration's interpretation of civil rights law may face lawsuits or loss of federal aid. The Education Secretary John King, in a statement, says no student should ever have to go through the experience of feeling unwelcome at school or on a college campus. Remember that quote for just a moment from now. Under the guidance, schools are told that they must treat transgender students according to their chosen gender identity as soon as a parent or guardian notifies the district that that identity, quote, differs from previous representations or records. There is no obligation for a student to present a specific medical diagnosis or identification documents that reflect his or her gender identity, and equal access must be given to transgender students, even in instances when it makes others uncomfortable, according to the directive. So only some people are allowed to be uncomfortable. Jim, we've obviously talked about the common sense of this issue in context with the North Carolina law. Now the administration's just ruling by fiat here.
I don't think I can put it any better than the initial New York Times tweet about this. They said, quote, "The Obama administration will issue a decree on transgender access to public school restrooms," unquote. I can give two quotes here that come to mind when I see that. One being from the commercial showing people talking about the Facebook wall, and the old lady is putting faces literally on her wall.
Right.
And the neighbor says, "No, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works."
Right.
And then, or ultimately, I'll quote the great philosopher Han Solo, "That's not how the Force works. The President of the United States does not run your local elementary school. He doesn't get to overrule the parents. He doesn't get to overrule the principal. He doesn't get to overrule this is none of his business. There are other problems that the President of the United States is needed. He is command. Greg, I take it ISIS is fixed.
I guess so.
Right? You know, the economy is fine. Southern border secure. Okay, nothing to worry about. This is a bad martini. I'm just about to put up on the corner in a moment. I'm not so sure Hillary Clinton is waking up this morning feeling terrific about this. This is not, you know, whatever you think of whether, you know, how to handle transgender students. And oh, by the way, that line you mentioned about that you don't need a note from your doctor or anything. If you're going to ensure rights for a group of people, you have to be able to define who that group of people is. Just saying, well, I feel transgender today, isn't, you know, like under the law, you can't keep somebody out of the opposite gender's bathroom then. And I think most people will say, you're dealing with teenagers here, right? I mean, can you imagine? You don't have to be a genius to see how this could go wrong. This kind of edict, one, the administration doesn't have the authority to do this, but two, they're, and once again, probably going to be using the threat of blocking funding or lawsuits to get schools to comply. This is not what anybody elected President Obama to do. This is not what the federal government is for. But because we are now in this era in which we have a runaway government and imperial presidency, the administration thinks this is the way things are supposed to operate. Now, one of the great ironies, Greg, is people might say, oh, okay, well, that'll hurt Hillary. But look, you know, Donald Trump was supportive of opposed the North Carolina law. He doesn't think the idea that the North Carolina law of restricting who can use what bathroom is a good idea. He's not on their side, so this won't help him. Well, Greg, if you look at Washington as being arrogant and out of touch and bossy and meddling, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, who do you think is going to communicate your anger better?
Probably Trump.
Right? I mean, you know, this is one of those things like, you know, if you're angry at Washington, I don't think this is really, you don't go to Hillary and say, all right, Hillary, I want you to go and turn Washington upside down. That's not in her character, not in her nature. So Trump might actually get a little bit of advantage out of this. And it just kind of seems like a classic example of Washington run amok and dictating things to local schools that it has no business dictating.
Exactly. And I think some folks are saying, well, the White House shouldn't be telling these school districts what to do. Why are these states taking federal money? Let's work on that a little bit and just get the federal government out of education altogether. Obviously, it's a pretty convoluted system right now with what's required and what school districts are at the point of depending on that money now. But that is one issue that could potentially come up here, especially if some states fight this, which I'm sure that some of them will. Also, Jim, just like on some other social issues, there are 300 Republicans in the House and Senate. Regardless of what you think about the issue, you'd think just the power grab here and not going through the system would anger a lot of Republicans. Zero press releases in my inbox today. I'm not on all of their mailing list. Nothing. I saw Ben Sasse had a tweet saying, is there nothing that this administration will let local governments and states decide? But for the most part, the GOP is eerily silent today.
Yeah, boy, isn't the headline Ben Sasse stands alone starting to get a little too disturbingly common?
Yes. Well, let's get on to a little bit of frivolity for the crazy martini, unless, of course, you just lost a lot of money thanks to Chelsea Clinton's husband. But this is courtesy of the Daily Caller. Chelsea Clinton's husband is shutting down a hedge fund he founded after losing 90% of investors' money. Mark Mezvinsky promoted Eagle Vale Hellenic Opportunity as a means to bet on and profit from a Greek economic recovery. The fund was a spinoff of Eagle Vale Partners, a larger hedge fund founded by Mezvinsky and two colleagues from his working days at Goldman Sachs. Eagle Vale Hellenic Opportunity specialized in buying up Greek stocks and government debt, betting the country would finally get its house in order and come roaring back. Mezvinsky argued in 2014 that despite many signs to the contrary, Greece would soon be on the road to sustainable recovery and investors would be able to take advantage. It raised $25 million for its investment, but it already lost about 40% of its value by early 2015. That didn't stop him. Now investors lost 90% of their money. So, Jim, I'm Greek. I like Greece. Don't bet on Greece's economic recovery.
I was wondering, where were they looking next, Greg? Was it North Korea? I hear Somalia is looking very hot this time of year. Piracy futures are just off the chart. I suppose you could say, if everybody's zigging, I'm going to zag, right? If everybody else sees no opportunity there, I'm going to take a look at that. But you know what? Sometimes the crowd is right. Sometimes, you know, I'm you're kind of curious about, like, what was like I'm kind of laughing at Chelsea's husband. Like why were you thinking that? But then you got to think about the customers, Greg. What were they thinking?
Right.
This guy must be able to sell ice cream to Eskimos in Alaska. I mean, even if you're like, okay, Greece has learned its lesson. Most people are looking at that and saying, okay, this is a long, slow, arduous process for Greece. The arguments of the data they supplied to get into the EU were false. It spent way too much money on the Athens Olympics. It basically ultimately it had an insufficiently diversified economy. The work ethic and idea standard of how much what you were supposed to work was shrinking. The pensions were desperately underfunded. I mean, people may remember this just from top to bottom. And it didn't look like the sort of problem you were going to fix overnight. That basically, there was going to have to require a big, just a cultural change, an economic change, a relationship with the European Union, just top to bottom. And man, oh man, I'm going to put all my money there. Ooh, unless you were like trying to buy real estate because you thought it was undervalued or something. So I'm sure it's a frustrating day in the Clinton household. But look, I'm sure everything he knows about managing money he learned from his in-laws.
Jim, you mentioned it's been gray in D.C. I just realized, have we seen the sun since a presumptive Republican nominee was announced?
No, that we have not, Greg. It's almost as if God is telling us something. Or, fill in your metaphor of, mushrooms are growing or things like that. But I'm sure, into each life a little rain must fall. Maybe it's because Trump keeps using the term of during president's reign, R-E-I-G-N, That's kind of a royal term. You have terms. You don't have a reign as presidency. So.
No, but he does have the best words anyway.
He does. He does. Even when he's imitating himself as a pretending to be a PR guy. But we're the very best of hands, Greg. I'm sure you'll probably hear this in future martinis. I'm never Trump. I was listeners know how critical I've been of him throughout this. But even I will admit it's going to be absolutely delicious watching the Hillary Clinton campaign struggle to figure out how to handle Donald Trump. And if we think it's kind of gray and cloudy right here, man, in Brooklyn, it must be even worse today because, man, they apparently are stumbling and trying to figure out, well, do we go with the Jeb Bush stoic? We're going to ignore this. We're not going to dignify this with a response approach. Or do we try Marco Rubio's Don Rickles routine? And neither one of them worked particularly well in the primary. So we'll see how things shake out.
Oh, fun times. Jim, have a great weekend. Hopefully there's some sun on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.